Диск 11. Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит два раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела аудирования перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер 1. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего AF и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись дважды. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
My parents move a lot because of their jobs, so for me, changing schools is not a big deal. I can easily adapt to any new environment, and I study well, so my academic performance is relatively the same regardless of the school I currently attend. I understand it depends a lot on your character traits. I'm sociable, optimistic, and outgoing, so it's easy for me. I guess changing schools can be difficult for an introvert or a very pessimistic person.
Speaker B.
I have never had to change schools, but I think I wouldn't mind that if I had to. Don't get me wrong, I like my school, but I think a new school means new opportunities, and it must be so exciting. You will meet new teachers and change your communication circle, and will generally have a chance to look at the world from a different angle. It can also be useful in the future, because you will definitely have to change jobs in the future.
Speaker C.
I have been attending the same school my entire life, and I would hate to change schools. When I watch films about that, usually such films are comedies for teenagers. It's always quite difficult because you meet new people and have to communicate with them, and you never know how they will treat you. Maybe it's easy for some people, but I believe most teens will find it very stressful and wouldn't like to have such an experience.
Speaker D.
I had to change schools once, and I can't say it was a horrible experience. On the contrary, my new teachers and schoolmates were very kind to me. Still, I missed my old school, my old teachers and classmates, and my old school building. When changing schools, you certainly get something new, and probably it's even much better than what you had before, but you also lose something, and therefore can't help feeling a little bit sad about it.
Speaker E.
I would hate to change schools, and it's not because I worry about losing my friends or having problems communicating with my peers. The thing is, you will have to take your school finals, and when you change schools, it's always a stress, and your academic performance will certainly get worse. Don't forget that your new school will not necessarily be better in terms of educational opportunities. This is what would worry me if I had to change schools.
Speaker F.
My parents are thinking of moving to a different part of the city, and I will probably have to change schools because commuting will take me too much time, and they don't want me to waste time as I'm going to have my final exams next year. I'm really looking forward to going to a new school because I don't really like the one I attend now, and I hope things will be better in a new school. I don't know which one it will be, though, but I hope for the best.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again. Speaker A.
My parents move a lot because of their jobs, so for me, changing schools is not a big deal. I can easily adapt to any new environment, and I study well, so my academic performance is relatively the same regardless of the school I currently attend. I understand it depends a lot on your character traits. I'm sociable, optimistic, and outgoing, so it's easy for me. I guess changing schools can be difficult for an introvert or a very pessimistic person.
Speaker B.
I have never had to change schools, but I think I wouldn't mind that if I had to. Don't get me wrong, I like my school, but I think a new school means new opportunities, and it must be so exciting. You will meet new teachers and change your communication circle, and will generally have a chance to look at the world from a different angle. It can also be useful in the future, because you will definitely have to change jobs in the future.
Speaker C.
I have been attending the same school my entire life and I would hate to change schools. When I watch films about that, usually such films are comedies for teenagers. It's always quite difficult because you meet new people and have to communicate with them and you never know how they will treat you. Maybe it's easy for some people, but I believe most teens will find it very stressful and wouldn't like to have such an experience.
Speaker D.
I had to change schools once, and I can't say it was a horrible experience. On the contrary, my new teachers and schoolmates were very kind to me. Still, I missed my old school, my old teachers and classmates, and my old school building. When changing schools, you certainly get something new, and probably it's even much better than what you had before, but you also lose something, and therefore can't help feeling a little bit sad about it.
Speaker E.
I would hate to change schools, and it's not because I worry about losing my friends or having problems communicating with my peers. The thing is, you will have to take your school finals, and when you change schools, it's always a stress, and your academic performance will certainly get worse. Don't forget that your new school will not necessarily be better in terms of educational opportunities. This is what would worry me if I had to change schools.
Speaker F.
My parents are thinking of moving to a different part of the city, and I will probably have to change schools because commuting will take me too much time, and they don't want me to waste time as I'm going to have my final exams next year. I'm really looking forward to going to a new school because I don't really like the one I attend now, and I hope things will be better in a new school. I don't know which one it will be, though, but I hope for the best.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений AG соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start.
Hey, Nick. How's it going?
Hey, Ellen. It's going great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, too. Just getting back from my trip to Karelia.
Really? Who did you go with, and how long were you there?
I was with my parents. We went camping there for 2 weeks. 1 week we spent at a camping ground near a small lake, and the other week we went whitewater rafting down the river.
Wow, what an adventurous holiday. Did you stay in a cabin at the lake?
No, we didn't. We had our tent. We always sleep in a tent when we travel. It's a lot cheaper.
Oh my, I wouldn't be able to do that at all. I'm such a hotel person myself.
But why, Nick? Camping in a tent is so much fun. You can hear the birds in the morning, enjoy the fresh air and...
And mosquitoes? No, thank you. I'd much rather sleep in a comfortable bed, warm and clean. There isn't a bathroom when you sleep in a tent, is there?
No, not in the tent, of course. But the campsite where we stayed in Karelia had a public bathroom with showers, so that was convenient.
Well, that's good to hear. But it's still hard to sleep on the ground in a sleeping bag, I think.
Well, yes, at first, but then you get used to it. You can use a special soft mat to sleep on. It keeps you warm and comfortable.
I suppose I could try that, but I still think a hotel room is a nicer place to stay, Ellen.
Well, Nick, tastes differ. So what have you been doing these last 2 weeks before school starts?
Oh, I've been at home, shopping for school supplies, getting my books and uniform in order, you know.
Sounds fun. I still have to try on my uniform and see if I need a new one. I've got all the other things, I think. Did you see that new history book for this year? It looks very interesting.
Yes, I did. I love the maps and illustrations on it. I hope we have our history teacher from last year again this year.
Yeah, me too. She was so nice, and her lessons were so fun. History can be quite complicated sometimes.
So true, especially when you have to memorize all the dates and names. I can never get it right who led what battle and which Tsar was at the throne at what time.
Well, I'm afraid I have to go. There's still much to do.
Yes, me too. It was good to chat with you, Ellen.
Bye, Nick. I'll see you soon at school.
Bye.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again.
Hey, Nick, how's it going?
Hey, Ellen, it's going great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, too. Just getting back from my trip to Karelia.
Really? Who did you go with, and how long were you there?
I was with my parents. We went camping there for 2 weeks. 1 week we spent at a camping ground near a small lake, and the other week we went whitewater rafting down the river.
Wow, what an adventurous holiday. Did you stay in a cabin at the lake?
No, we didn't. We had our tent. We always sleep in a tent when we travel. It's a lot cheaper.
Oh my, I wouldn't be able to do that at all. I'm such a hotel person myself.
But why, Nick? Camping in a tent is so much fun. You can hear the birds in the morning, enjoy the fresh air and...
And mosquitoes? No, thank you. I'd much rather sleep in a comfortable bed, warm and clean. There isn't a bathroom when you sleep in a tent, is there?
No, not in the tent, of course. But the campsite where we stayed in Karelia had a public bathroom with showers, so that was convenient.
Well, that's good to hear. But it's still hard to sleep on the ground in a sleeping bag, I think.
Well, yes, at first. But then you get used to it. You can use a special soft mat to sleep on. It keeps you warm and comfortable.
I suppose I could try that, but I still think a hotel room is a nicer place to stay, Ellen.
Well, Nick, tastes differ. So what have you been doing these last 2 weeks before school starts?
Oh, I've been at home, shopping for school supplies, getting my books and uniform in order, you know.
Sounds fun. I still have to try on my uniform and see if I need a new one. I've got all the other things, I think. Did you see that new history book for this year? It looks very interesting.
Yes, I did. I love the maps and illustrations on it. I hope we have our history teacher from last year again this year.
Yeah, me too. She was so nice, and her lessons were so fun. History can be quite complicated sometimes.
So true, especially when you have to memorize all the dates and names. I can never get it right who led what battle and which Tsar was at the throne at what time.
Well, I'm afraid I have to go. There's still much to do.
Yes, me too. It was good to chat with you, Ellen.
Bye, Nick. I'll see you soon at school.
Bye.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите интервью. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующий выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Hello, everyone. This is your favorite weekly program, Writers. Today, we are happy to have here Vanessa Silva, the famous writer who has won numerous awards for her short fiction. Her novels are described as extraordinarily lyrical, moving, yet funny. Hello, Vanessa.
Good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me.
I've always wanted to know how people understand they were born to write books. You see, a writer is not a common profession. When did you first start writing?
I started writing when I was still a child. I produced a newspaper at the age of 6. The first issue was written in blue crayon. I wrote dreadful poetry when I was in my teens. I've still got it and it makes me giggle. I didn't write much apart from comedy, skits, and sketches until I started writing fiction properly in late 2002.
How did you go about starting your first novel?
I remember I was once shopping in Brighton during a thunderstorm. I dashed into a bookshop and I picked up a random book. I drove home, sat down with some tea in my wet trousers, and I didn't get up again until I'd finished it. 400 pages. I have to thank that man so much. That's when I turned from someone who had bought a book to someone who had become a writer. It pushed the switch. It unlocked the feeling of, I want to do this.
Apart from being a writer, you are also a lecturer. How did you get into teaching?
I think I'd found the thing that I loved doing, and I wanted to pass on the love of doing it. I'm a totally non-academic tutor. I'm very craft-based, and I try to open up creativity in people, literally, in every person.
Do you believe everybody has a story to tell?
I think that storytelling is almost innate in us. People sat round fires and caves in the Stone Age, telling each other stories. I don't think they would have just said, I went off and got a mammoth today. We have an ability to hang on to the important facts and drip feed people with the important bits. You don't give it all up front. You make them want to know the next bit, keep them involved by creating the character that draws them in and putting that character in a situation they can empathize with. Make the reader want to find out how they resolve this thing.
What is your advice for writers who are just starting?
Read as much as you can, not just the things you're told to read by parents, tutors, and reviewers. Read anything, both good books and bad ones. Whatever genre you want to work in, you've got to get a sense for when you're improving. Write as much as you can, and at some point you will find that the words take on a shape and rhythm of their own. It's almost a physical thing to recognize what it feels like, that moment when you change from being the person in charge of the pen to someone not deliberately creating something. You'll find the point when a character takes off and does their own thing. You need to recognize that and not refuse to let the character do what they want. Don't use the characters as the puppet. Be a tool to the character, so you're following along behind them. Listen to your own instincts as a writer and then edit. That may mean cutting a huge amount of words or cutting down a story by a third. I think a lot of writers don't do enough. They leave it raw. There's no point in doing things by half.
Thank you, Vanessa. It has been very interesting talking to you.
Thank you.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again.
Hello, everyone. This is your favorite weekly program, Writers. Today, we are happy to have here Vanessa Silva, the famous writer who has won numerous awards for her short fiction. Her novels are described as extraordinarily lyrical, moving, yet funny. Hello, Vanessa.
Good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me.
I've always wanted to know how people understand they were born to write books. You see, a writer is not a common profession. When did you first start writing?
I started writing when I was still a child. I produced a newspaper at the age of 6. The first issue was written in blue crayon. I wrote dreadful poetry when I was in my teens. I've still got it and it makes me giggle. I didn't write much apart from comedy, skits, and sketches until I started writing fiction properly in late 2002.
How did you go about starting your first novel?
I remember I was once shopping in Brighton during a thunderstorm. I dashed into a bookshop and I picked up a random book. I drove home, sat down with some tea in my wet trousers, and I didn't get up again until I'd finished it. 400 pages. I have to thank that man so much. That's when I turned from someone who had bought a book to someone who had become a writer. It pushed the switch. It unlocked the feeling of, I want to do this.
Apart from being a writer, you are also a lecturer. How did you get into teaching?
I think I'd found the thing that I loved doing, and I wanted to pass on the love of doing it. I'm a totally non-academic tutor. I'm very craft-based, and I try to open up creativity in people, literally, in every person.
Do you believe everybody has a story to tell?
I think that storytelling is almost innate in us. People sat round fires and caves in the Stone Age, telling each other stories. I don't think they would have just said, I went off and got a mammoth today. We have an ability to hang on to the important facts and drip feed people with the important bits. You don't give it all up front. You make them want to know the next bit. Keep them involved by creating the character that draws them in and putting that character in a situation they can empathize with. Make the reader want to find out how they resolve this thing.
What is your advice for writers who are just starting?
Read as much as you can, not just the things you're told to read by parents, tutors, and reviewers. Read anything, both good books and bad ones. Whatever genre you want to work in, you've got to get a sense for when you're improving. Write as much as you can, and at some point you will find that the words take on a shape and rhythm of their own. It's almost a physical thing to recognize what it feels like, that moment when you change from being the person in charge of the pen to someone not deliberately creating something. You'll find the point when a character takes off and does their own thing. You need to recognize that and not refuse to let the character do what they want. Don't use the characters as the puppet. Be a tool to the character, so you're following along behind them. Listen to your own instincts as a writer and then edit. That may mean cutting a huge amount of words or cutting down a story by a third. I think a lot of writers don't do enough. They leave it raw. There's no point in doing things by half.
Thank you, Vanessa. It has been very interesting talking to you.
Thank you.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.